Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to answer, for they became terrified. Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." All at once they looked around and saw no one with them anymore except Jesus alone. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for being with us this morning. We invite you into our house, God, into this place, into our hearts. Come and speak to us and meet with us, God. Thank you that you've given us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, Mark 9, verse 2 to 8, what we see is this crazy mountaintop experience. This is where that term comes from, mountaintop experience. Peter, James, and John, they get taken up to the mountain with Jesus. So they have this amazing mountaintop experience with Jesus where he is transfigured before them. They see him in his glory, and they see Elijah and Moses. And so it's quite an experience for them. But I love verse 8. It says, all at once they looked around and they saw no one with them anymore except Jesus alone. So all in a blink of an eye, they are experiencing this crazy mountaintop experience. And then all at once, they don't see any of that. And they're back to their ordinary, normal, everyday life. So today what I want to talk about is finding God in the mundane, or obeying God in the mundane. Because I think for us, we're a culture obsessed with the extraordinary, right? We're always chasing after something that is radical or cool, or we're chasing after a mountaintop experience. We're chasing after the extraordinary. If you just Google extraordinary or ordinary, you'll find lots of articles that say, you know, 9 steps to become extraordinary, right? It's this obsession that we have with becoming something greater than just an ordinary experience. If you watch that movie American Beauty, there is a character she's a cheerleader, and she's supposed to be the beautiful one. And the worst insult that she hears from among her friends is that you are ordinary, right? And she's like, "I'm not ordinary." And that's the worst thing that she could hear, because she's longing to be someone that is extraordinary, that is radical. And even as Christians, we can tend to do that. We can tend to chase after an experience with God, or a mountaintop experience, or a retreat, or a mission trip. Ever since Pastor Che came and he spoke about revival, I got myself a book called Revival Fire, because I was like, man, I want to experience revival. And this morning, when I was reflecting upon this message, I thought, man, that's also, in a way, I'm chasing after something. I want something greater than what I'm experiencing right now, the everyday, the mundane, right? The word mundane doesn't have, it's not a nice word. Like, no one wants to be told that you're mundane or you're ordinary. But the fact is, most of our lives are lived in the mundane. Right, we have our mountaintop experiences, our radical, extraordinary experiences with God. But most of our lives is lived in the ordinary, the mundane, the everyday, normal kind of life. We're about to go to a retreat Retreats and mission trips are spiritual highs, but we always come back to our normal life. When we came back from Cambodia, even though it was a one-week trip we had with our youth group students, we made sure we had a debrief time because we knew that coming back from a mission trip, they're going to be a spiritual high, and coming back to their normal life, they were going to need to adjust, right? Because we knew that even though as great as these mountaintop experiences are with mission trips and retreats and whatnot, we knew that what counts is the way we live our lives in the normal everyday, right? Because this is the majority, the 90% of our lives is lived in the everyday, the mundane. So we wanted to help with the transition. If you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 11. I'm going to read from the NIV, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. The word of the Lord came to Solomon, "As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David your father, and I will live among the Israelites, and I will not abandon my people, Israel." This is very interesting. This whole chapter is devoted to the construction of the temple. And the construction of the temple took 7 years. So this was a very radical thing that Solomon was doing. This very extraordinary thing that Solomon was doing by building this temple. And this whole chapter is about what kind of wood he used and what he did to build this area and that area. It's devoted to the building of the temple, the 7-year construction of the temple. And yet, when the word of God comes to Solomon, God doesn't even address the temple. He says, "As for this temple you're building," and then he moves on to something else. He doesn't even talk about, he doesn't say, "Oh, good job. I appreciate the hard work you've put in, and I'm going to dwell with you." You know, he said, "As for this temple you're building, if you follow my decrees and obey my laws and keep my commands, then I will bless you." Right? He says, this temple is great, but that's not what it's about. He says, what I care about is whether you're obeying me, obeying my word, obeying my commands, obeying my teachings in the everyday, not in something crazy and, you know, radical that you're doing with the 7-year construction of the temple. For in a way, when we live our Christian life, the radical thing is the easier thing to do. I remember, I don't know if you guys remember our brother Yi Wen. His mom comes to our church, Felicia. Yi Wen used to be a youth group teacher, and so we hung out all the time, and we would talk about different things, marriage and whatever. And one of the things I remember he said about marriage that really stuck with me, he said, I think this was about the time he was going to get married to Young. And he said, because we talk about how marriage and this commitment that we're making is a willingness to die to ourselves, right? You have to die to yourself and live for your spouse, to be there for your spouse. So Yi Wen was saying that, you know, he said, I think it's easy to actually die for someone. Like if a train was coming and this passenger was on the platform and you had to, like, dive to save that person and you sacrifice your life. Ian was saying, he's saying, I think I can do that. He was like, if you were in that situation and I had to dive, sacrifice my life to save you, he said, I think I can do that. I can die, literally die to myself to save someone else. But he said, what's harder is probably every day dying to my own needs, dying to my own desires, dying to my own wishes so that I can serve my wife. He said, that's probably harder than that one moment of heroic sacrifice that you, give to somebody. And I was like, that's probably true. You know, I'm thinking most people here, if I saw you and you were about to die, and I had a very clear chance to save you by sacrificing me, I think I could do it, maybe. Like Pastor Sam was saying, how that dad, he sacrificed his own life to save his wife and his children. You know, if you're in that situation, because I know I'm going to heaven, you know, I can maybe die saving you. But if I were to die every day to my own needs, my desires, and always give in to, you know, what you guys, you know, what you want, that would be harder to do. And so I think it's true. For us as Christians, I think it's easy, in a way it's easy to go on a mission trip, and then for 1 week you say, I'm just going to live, you know, do everything I can to live for God, 100% obedience, and just following after the Lord. But what's harder to do is to come back to your everyday life and to still seek after the Lord and to still try to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and to obey Him and how He's leading us. I was reading this devotional. This whole devotional came from reading Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, which I've been doing with my wife for the past few weeks. And I think he says something that is even more true than the fact that it's easier sometimes to do the radical. And he says, it's the everyday, it's how we live every day, following God, obeying God, and worshiping God, that prepares us for the radical. You know, that the everyday living of obeying God and listening to the Holy Spirit and worshiping Him, that is what prepares us and readies us for something radical. When God brings us into a place of crisis or a mission field or something that is extraordinary, it's how we live our lives in the ordinary that prepares us. And he says this, he says, are you saying I can't be expected to live a sanctified life in my present circumstances? I have no time for prayer or Bible study right now. Besides, my opportunity for battle hasn't come yet, but when it does, of course I will be ready. He says, are you saying that? He says, no, you will not. If you have not been worshiping in everyday occasions, when you get involved in God's work, you will not only be useless to yourself, but also a hindrance to those around you. And it really challenged me. And yesterday, or 2 days ago or something, we're doing this thing. And how God spoke to me personally was, you know, when I'm at church, that's my battlefield in a way. This is where I get out of myself, and I want to die to the church members and give and serve and whatnot. But when I come home, all I want to do is consider my own needs and not really think about ministering to anyone. And it really hit me with our helper. And it's funny because Pastor Salamat's there, and she's one of Pastor Salamat's sheep, church members. But we have a helper. Her name is Maya. And I realized that in my everyday living, which is my home life, man, I have zero desire to, like, minister to her, or, you know, just get to know her and minister to her and speak with her, because I feel like in the church, in my work, I'm always giving of myself. At home, I just don't want to do any of that. And God really spoke to me and said, man, if you're in your everyday living, in your everyday life, in your normal life, you're not willing to die to yourself and listen to the Holy Spirit and minister to people, but then you're doing it at church because that's your work. It's just hypocritical. So that was my conviction. So I try to make more of an effort. I mean, that was only a few days ago, but even yesterday we tried to make more of an effort to spend time with her and get to know her and minister to her in some sense. One of my favorite books is My Hiding Place by this author, Corrie ten Boom. And if you don't know her, she's Dutch, and she lived in the times when the Nazis were in power. And she was not a Jew, but she was part of this underground movement that housed Jewish people to kind of save them and to keep them alive. But then eventually she gets caught, and she gets sent into prison camp. And this whole book is about just the amazing experience she has of going through all of that and still finding love and forgiveness for the people that really hurt her. But what I love about this story is that for, I think up to about, she's 40-something years old. She never gets married. And she's about 40-something years old. But for the 40-something years of her life, she lives in the mundane. Right? Nothing really extraordinary happens to her. She lives in this home that is connected to a watch shop, and her father works in the watch shop. So she just faithfully goes to church, reads the Word of God. They do family worship together. And everyday faithful living for 40-some years. And then the Nazis come into power. And then an opportunity or a challenge comes to her life and says, am I going to do something about what is happening with the Jews and the suffering? And she has an opportunity to hide them in her shop with her father. And she says yes to that. And then this whole radical thing happens to her, extraordinary living of being a leader of this underground movement of hiding the Jews. But for 40-some years, it's just everyday living. And I feel like that could happen to any of us. You know, every day we're living in an ordinary life, but I think how we live in this ordinary life is what prepares us for something crazy or extraordinary or radical that could come. Evan Roberts is the guy that Pastor Chan talked about who brought about the revival in Wales. And I was reading his commentary because I'm reading this book on revival. And his revival started, the revival in Wales started with him, but I was thinking about his parents. You know, and it talks about how his parents were faithful, devoted Christians, and they took this little boy to church. So even from a young age, even from the age of 11, 12, he was praying, reading the Word, and communing with God because the faith was passed down from his parents to Evan Roberts. And his parents never had an extraordinary experience of a revival. But they lived faithfully in the everyday, you know, and then it was passed down to him because they were faithful in the everyday living. So I just want to say to us this morning, you know, most of our lives are lived in the ordinary, the mundane, the normal. But it is what God is saying to you here in your place. What is God saying to you now, like in your workplace, in your family, in your everyday living, that God is asking you to do? And are you paying attention to that? Because I think how we live now is what prepares us for the radical, the extraordinary, the mountaintop. So Andrew's going to lead us in a song. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just speak to us. Just to convict us, you know. Is there anything, you know, in our everyday living that God is calling us to do and maybe we're not walking in obedience? So come, Holy Spirit. Lead us, God. Lord, it's kind of easy to chase after an experience after an experience after another mountaintop experience. But help us, God, in the everyday living, the mundane living, to connect with you and to hear from you and to be devoted to you, God, in the everyday living, to be faithful in the everyday mundane living, God. So come, Holy Spirit, we invite you, Lord, to speak to us this day.
A pleasing sacrifice.
Thank you, God. Yes, Lord, we want to offer you our lives. Even the ordinary, the mundane, the everyday, you know, the times we spend in the office or in our families, in our homes, God. Every part of our lives, God, we want to offer it to you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our community together. Let's lift up our friends that are going through very, very difficult times, times of crisis. Let's pray for God's strength for them. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for a miracle for our friends, especially ones that are battling cancer or going through chemo radiation therapy. Let's pray together. Pray for those that are ill, but also they're in need of salvation. Let's pray that God will move in their lives in a powerful way to reveal Himself to them. Let's pray that they will experience God's love, mercy, and grace in this time. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those that are going through various infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Pray for God's strength over our friends on this list. Let's pray together. Go to the fourth slide. Pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and favor that they will God will lead them to the right companies and the right people. Let's pray together. Let's go to Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for our city of Hong Kong. Pray for the government. Pray regarding the wealth gap. Let's pray for the churches, that there will be revival here, that the Spirit of God would sweep across this land in a powerful way. Pray for the different ministries that's listed on here that we partner with. Pray for God's strength over them, God's leading, God's anointing over them. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for the staff. Please pray for Pastor Sam. He will be back by the end of this week. Be here for Sunday. Thank God for a great time in SB Singapore retreat. He's in Bintan, I think, with Pastor Sam Kim's family and his family. So just pray for a good time with them, with the family. If you can, please lift up Rachel. She is feeling ill, not able to come to work today, so please pray for healing for her. I just pray for the staff to be strengthened, especially for the admin staff as they get ready for the retreat, for God's wisdom and strength, and for all of us to be united, for us to work well together and to really build the church together. So let's lift up the staff. Let's lift up the worship, sound, and AV team. Pray for a heart of worship and a heart of excellence. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the hospitality team, the welcoming and the barista. Pray for more volunteers. Pray that the love of God will shine through all of our ministers in this area. So let's pray for these teams. Let's pray for the Tuesday house churches. Pray for an amazing time today. Pray for the leaders. Let's pray. Let's pray for the retreat coming up. We have about a month to go. So pray for our speaker. Pray for all the logistics to be worked out. And just want to encourage you, everyone, to come out on Thursday night this week, 8 p.m. We'll be meeting together for a prayer meeting. So I encourage you to come out to that. Let's pray for our retreat. Father God, thank you. We love you today. I just pray that we would be faithful in the small things, God. Faithful in the ordinary everyday life, Lord. In spending time with you, in being sensitive to you, and trying to walk in obedience, God, to your directions, Lord. And we're thankful for the mountaintop experiences, God, the crazy experiences, Lord. And in the everyday mundane, God, help us to still be faithful and to follow you and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So thank you, God. We love you. We bless you. I bless everybody here. I bless their spirits to connect the Holy Spirit to lead their body and soul today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.